I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're going to have a fascinating hour. First, let me tell you, though, we're in our winter membership drive, and if you could be so kind as to make your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio, I think you'll be a happier person. And we're going to be talking about happiness this hour in a very interesting context. So to feel as though you've made a contribution to a world of ideas that we give you every single day, you'll just feel better if you make a pledge. So here's how you do it. 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Or you can go to WPR.org. All right, on to the fascinating subject matter this hour, which may be a focus of some disagreement among those of you listening. So let me tell you what we're talking about. Our guest says there's a growing body of empirical research that shows that some kinds of societies produce a great deal more satisfaction with life than others. The obvious step, as Albert Einstein put it, is to ask ourselves how the structure of society and the cultural attitude of man should be changed in order to make human life as satisfying as possible. It turns out that human well-being is much better in societies, our guest says, that are associated with social democracy. Societies led by leftist or liberal governments have the highest levels of life satisfaction, controlling for other factors. The more generous and universalistic the welfare state, the greater the level of human happiness. He's also done some interesting studies on citizen direct democracy, referenda. We'll talk about that. And we'll be welcoming your phone calls as well, and the importance of unions. And but this should be real interesting because there's some international comparisons as well. Our phone number for our guest, who is Professor Benjamin Radcliffe, professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame, author of The Political Economy of Human Happiness, How Voters' Choices Determine the Quality of Life. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. Professor Radcliffe, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know how weird it is how somebody's name pops up every now and then, and Albert Einstein was last week with those gravitational waves, and now here he is today with the structure of society. This guy was pretty smart, wasn't he?
Yeah, he touched a lot of lives in a lot of different intellectual areas.
Yeah. So when we have to ask, and when you ask, because it's your business to do so, how the structure of society and the cultural attitude of man should be changed in order to make human life as satisfying as possible, how can human life be satisfying as possible?
Well, your introduction gave a very good summary. The argument that Einstein made, just from a theoretical point of view, writing in the 40s, is the same one that I'm making with the analysis of empirical data. Essentially, he's arguing that the European social democratic experiment, one that places more emphasis on equality and security for people, less emphasis on the capitalist rat race, that's the kind of society that's most conducive to people leading satisfying lives.
Mm-hmm.
That simple.
It's really quite different in many of those European societies, isn't it? Can you want to highlight a few that I find striking? What's going on in Germany with sick leave? What's going on with family allowances in Germany? Vacation time in many of these European countries?
Yeah, it's not atypical in Western Europe for people to have, you know, 28 days of paid vacation, a month of paid vacation a year, as well as a generous amount of sick leave, which most Americans don't have mandatorily. Only three states require any kind of paid sick leave, and there's, of course, no federal rules about it. You mentioned family allowances. Every German family gets I think it's 180 odd euros per month per child, right? And on the logic that society has a vested interest in making sure the children grow up in a healthy and stable environment and outside of poverty, that's a great example. There's more subtle things that also make a difference to when you to one of them, to me, that always sticks out as a symbol of everything is if you go into a say a supermarket in the Netherlands, the people who are behind the counter are sitting down, whereas in the United States they're always standing up. You know, you work an 8-hour shift standing up. It's a lot different than working an 8-hour shift sitting down. So more subtle things that have nothing specifically to do with money, but with working conditions, with security in those jobs, which all fall under the idea of labor market regulations and so on. So, you know, social democracy is about money. It's about security. It's about the welfare state, as we call it. But it's also about these other slightly less money-driven and intangible things, which can contribute to people leading nicer lives.
You have written about the work of Abraham Maslow, providing a model for understanding the needs that we have and how society may be able to help meet those needs. I think it's interesting to hear what those are again, what the basic needs are, and then how the ladder goes up so that a society can, if some of the other needs are met, provide quite a high level of satisfaction in life.
Right. So Maslow has an idea that we as human animals have certain specific needs, and that we're happy to the extent that, you know, those needs are satisfied. And he thinks of them as being hierarchically arranged in a pyramid, so that you need the attainment of the lower level needs to successfully obtain the higher ones. Right, so at the bottom of the pyramid are basic physiological needs like food, clothing, and shelter. The next step up is security. Right, so once you're no longer, you know, once you have an apartment and a job, you want to be secure in those things. The next step up is love and belonging. You know, you want to have fulfilling personal relationships. The next step up is respect. You know, respect from society, respect for yourself. And then finally, at the very top, the most amorphous of all is this idea of self-actualization, of, you know, trying to achieve the kind of goals that you've chosen in life and to be the best kind of person that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic argument is that these sort of social democratic policies we've just been describing contribute enormously to more satisfying lives because they affect all these levels of the pyramid, but primarily the ones at the bottom, right? So in a social democratic society, you don't have a lot of poverty, you don't have street people, you don't have homelessness, you don't have people without access to medical care. So these sort of basic physiological needs are largely taken care of. And then security is also, you know, if not guaranteed, at least a lot more than we typically have in the States because of, you know, unemployment compensation and all the other sorts of welfare state things, those family allowances we mentioned before in Germany, the kind of things that provide people with security. And the example I used of, supermarket clerks being able to sit down all day instead of standing fits sort of in the idea of respect and dignity. That is, you know, the society in which you function is interested in you as a person, trying to do the things that it can to make your life a better one, and thus is treating you with respect.
Yeah, I never knew that. I never thought about that before, nor did I know it, that you can sit down in the Netherlands and probably other countries. That makes a whole lot of sense. Why hurt your feet? Why do you have to stand up all the time? You also have written a lot about labor unions. We certainly in this state have seen an enormous decline in labor unions in the last couple of years. You have written that labor unions play a vital role in helping, provide protection for workers against the whims of employers, but that also that unions, and I guess that there are a lot of studies that bear this out, that higher wages and benefits of unionized workers raise the wage level for everybody, which you don't need, maybe you don't need a whole lot of money to be happy in your society, but you need enough to get by and maybe a little to take a vacation, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, unionized workers make more than other workers in almost in the same sector, and that's a truism almost everywhere at all times. But what happens when it's just like raising the minimum wage, the higher wages that come from organized workers being able to negotiate higher wages has a raises the wage floor, so that other employers trying to compete for people have to try to accommodate guaranteed at least something like the wages and benefits and working conditions of organized workers. So in some sense, all of us are free riders on people who belong to unions.
We're going to welcome phone calls. It's an interesting thought here. Well, not thought. Our guest has studied this quite a bit, and the thrust of what we're talking about is that those governments that are associated with social democracy, societies led by liberal governments, leftist governments, a lot of what we see in Western Europe, have the highest levels of life satisfaction, which we could put in Einstein's words is making human life as satisfying as possible, that we're satisfied with life, that we find some joy in life. Happiness, pursuit of happiness in our Declaration of Independence as well. What do you think about that? Do you think that it is the role of government in many ways to provide some life satisfaction for us? Is it one of the reasons that Bernie Sanders, although he may not be doing as well as people initially thought, but is it one of the reasons that people support him? Do they believe if Bernie Sanders were president, we'd all be happier in some way? I mean, I guess that's a question of the hour as well. Is it the role of government to address that in the many ways that our guest has outlined? Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? So what do you think? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, where we're, you know, I would think you could write some interesting things on our Facebook page as well, the Kathleen Dunn Show. Benjamin Radcliffe is our guest, professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame, and he's the author of The Political Economy of Human Happiness, How Voters' Choices Determine the Quality of Life. All right. Well, on to another important thing that will make us very, very happy, and you happy as well, because if we're not here, then you're not happy, and if you're not with us, then we're not happy, so we need each other for happiness, right? I'm Kathleen Dunn. Scotty Myers is joining me here, our wonderful producer, along with KP Whaley. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Where else can you get a conversation like the one we're having this hour? It's one of the things I love about this place. Your gift of any amount will make these kinds of conversations possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Scotty.
Hi, Kathleen. You know, in this hour, we're talking about how voters contribute to the quality of life. And likewise for this pledge, contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio, you know, they add value to the programming we hear every day. And last hour, we heard from 29 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. We really appreciate it. The goal now this hour, 25. We're looking for 25 pledges by 3 o'clock. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on. Help meet that goal with the gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether it's a news update, our news is wonderful here and all over the state. A 60-minute talk show, you hear about all these topics that affect your life, the quality of your life, your general satisfaction. And you hear about them only on Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we all speak with each other about this. Listeners like you help pay for these quality programs that you hear every single day. So please give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, much like every vote matters in an election. So help pay for the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And during this drive right now, if you contribute, you can ask for these great WPR bandanas. Put them, you know, use them in your motorcycle gang. Put them on your dog. Put them, you know, put them on your own head, whatever you need to do with them. But these bandanas are great.
And Deborah from Madison said she's a sustaining member, but she was motivated to give the extra gift because of those bandanas.
Hey,
Scotty,
I don't blame her.
You're selling those bandanas. They've got a traditional design with a Wisconsin spin. You get one red and you get one navy banana banana bandanas. They're 100% cotton. They're not made out of bananas. They're made out of cotton, and they're USA made. So show your support for WPR and ask for the bandanas when you give $6 a month or a one-time gift of $72. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'm pleased to be a listener and part of the audience for Wisconsin Public Radio because, as our whole family feels, Wisconsin Public Radio and what they bring to the community is really a family value for us. I'm Joan Rudnitsky. I'm a board member of Wisconsin Public Radio Association. I'm from West Bend, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Make your donation in support of all of these programs that are so important to you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Scotty Myers is with me. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, and we're asking for your pledge, be it $5 a month, $100 a month. We thank you.
That's right. It's easy to come up with reasons to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. You hear thought-provoking conversations, exceptional classic music, entertaining programs. There's all the driveway moments. It's harder to think of reasons why not to give to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Maybe you don't give because you think that you can't give enough to make a difference, or you think that somebody else will give. Or maybe you've been meaning to give and you just keep putting it off.
Don't wait to give because you think it won't make a difference. Don't wait for someone else to donate. Your support matters. Your membership makes a difference. Start with the gift of, say, $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that you know how important this service is to you, and you want it to be here for the next generation.
And they should have access to the same quality news, right, information, music, and entertainment that have nourished you. Public radio is equal serving of vegetables and dessert.
dessert first.
So make your pledge right now. Support today. These are the building blocks for a stable future for our organization.
Invest in quality radio for yourself and for the next generation. Make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 25 pledges in the next half hour or so. Give to Wisconsin Public Radio to support your station that you love, your public. You put the public in public radio.
Absolutely. And thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable to you. Some give $5 a month. Others give $100 or more.
And whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on the air for a long time. Please give now whatever amount is comfortable for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 21 more pledges in the next 36 or so minutes. Your gift right now at Wisconsin Public Radio goes a long way, and you can do so at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In this pledge drive, you can ask for your set of two WPR bandanas. I know a lot of people here, we're all dog lovers here, so many people are getting them for their doggies, which is a good thing. Nothing like a good-looking dog with a good-looking bandana. They're used, either yours when you give $6 a month or a one-time gift of $72 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up a convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much. Carrie from Cambridge says, I can't imagine life without public radio. Thanks for all you do.
Really appreciate that, Carrie. And your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Scotty, as well. We're talking about happiness and if society, if governments have a role in helping us be happier people. Our guest says the more generous and universalistic the welfare state, not in a negative term, the welfare state in a positive way, the greater the level of human happiness. Would you agree? Maybe Bernie Sanders should use it as his slogan. If you elect Bernie Sanders, you'll all be happier. What do you think? Our phone number is 800-486-8655 is the number, and we'll take your phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Professor Benjamin Radcliffe is our guest, professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame, author of The Political Economy of Human Happiness, How Voters' Choices Determine the Quality of Life. Let's go to some phone calls, and we go to Jeff in Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I've just always found it interesting that lovers of the Constitution love to cite government of the people, by the people, for the people, and yet as soon as there's a policy issue that arises regarding quality of life, your guest subject, they don't phrase it in terms of people caring for people. It's rephrased as the state or vilified as the nanny state, and no longer viewed as people's efforts to care for people, and in so doing, kill those policy actions. So it's just interesting that it's government of the people until those who really need it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, thank you very much for your thought. Professor Radcliffe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good observation. There's conservatives like to castigate the government as somehow evil and nefarious and beyond our control. I tend to think of it as, you know, it certainly has its problems and it's prone to corruption and just wastage, just as anything else is. But to paraphrase FDR, the state is the only source of organized power that people in a democratic society can turn to as an alternative source of power against the power inherent in the economy. And so the whole idea of social democracy is or the New Deal for that matter, is to take the idea that we're all in this together and that to a certain degree we have to take care of ourselves and take responsibility for ourselves, but we have to build a society who has those sorts of structures that encourage and allow people to do that. So we have a world of shared prosperity, and to some extent we sort of socialize both the benefits and the risks of living in the modern age.
Why is it, do you think, that Western Europe, we've already identified many of those countries, accept universal health care as a given, are looking at, not looking at, they're giving families in Germany and other places as well, or having serious discussions about giving families $205 a month per child just so that you can have your expenses taken care of so you can be a happier person. Why do we have so many problems with that in this country, do you think, Benjamin?
Well, in part, it's because of the Democratic Party and other institutions which should be making that case to people have not done a very good job in doing so. I mean, Bill Clinton announced long ago that the age of big government is over, mm-hmm. sort of raising the white flag on the idea that the state, you know, the our leaders chosen by ourselves, that somehow that we shouldn't look to them to help solve the country's problems. And, you know, I think it's been a huge failure. And in Western Europe, another big difference is people see what it is that the government is doing for them in a tangible way. You mentioned, again, family benefits in Germany. If every month you got $205 per child from the government, you see where your taxes are going for. There's so that you and your neighbors and your friends are getting this kind of money to help take care of children. You see it when you go to your children get to go to university for free. Oh, another Bernie Sanders idea mm-hmm. for here. Right? You see the all the things that government does for you, provides you or helps you get access to medical care so that it's not tied to your job and you don't have to worry about your children not being able to go to a doctor if you lose your job. So all these kinds of things touch people in direct ways, and it's easy for people to draw that connection between what government does and how they benefit from them. Even in the U.S., there was a famous example everybody talks about back, I think, in the 2008 election, where a woman at a Republican rally screamed that she wanted the government to keep its hands off of her Medicare, which, of course, is a government program. That somehow the good things that we do, like Medicare and Social Security, are somehow somehow thought to be implicitly private almost, as if they're not part of what government does. And I think that's a pervasive attitude that people just fail to understand all the things that governments, even in the United States, do, and more importantly, all the things that they could do, like, again, free university education that most of the other industrial democracies do.
Let's go to Ruth in Eau Claire next. Hi, Ruth.
Yeah, I so appreciate this conversation. It's a conversation we really need to have. And, you know, the other thing is that as a private citizen, if I pay taxes, I have something to say about where those taxes go, whether I agree with it or not. I have something to say versus going to something that's privatized. I'm never going to get into those large boardrooms. I'm never going to have a voice there. And I don't know how it is that the American public doesn't get this connection between being able to have at least some voice. You know, the idea that we would privatize our water utilities just blows my mind that we would ever consider that. And thank goodness in this state, Flint, Michigan happened before our legislators could vote something like that in. You know, there's certain things that government needs to do and that equality that the public needs to be able to have the power to assure itself. And you know, along with these things like child care, elder care, public school, and for goodness sake, we need national health care. But those are... that's basically my comment.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Ruth, for your call. Professor Radcliffe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Some people have a preference for anything that's private as opposed to governmental because they think that somehow getting government out of the way gives them more power. I tend to think, as I think your caller did, just the opposite, that the more we face private business, whose purpose is to make a profit, we're powerless against them. Whereas in the sense that a government bureaucrat, however annoying and intrusive and unpleasant it may be to deal with a government bureaucrat about something, they're at least answerable to us in some fashion, whereas private industry is not. Private industry has a goal of making money for itself as a corporation and for its shareholders. That's a very different job than what government is typically entrusted to do.
Benjamin Radcliffe is our guest, professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame and author of The Political Economy of Human Happiness. We're talking about what role it is government can play in having all of us be more satisfied human beings. Is it the role of government? What can they do? If you look at countries, he says, societies led by leftist or liberal governments have the highest levels of life satisfaction, controlling for other factors. The more generous and universalistic the welfare state, the greater the level of human happiness. What do you think? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We'd love to hear from you on this issue. Our email is talk@WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. We're also in our winter membership drive, and your support is the foundation of our budget. Your support makes us happy. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your important place for great programs, for fascinating conversations. First, Scotty Myers is with me, and we encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 at this very moment to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
We're looking for 19 pledges in the next 20 or so minutes to stay on track this hour. Your support helps keep the station strong. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show. Be a producer like me with your gift at wisconsinpublicradio.org or 888-202-2552.
You turn to the radio station for conversations like the one that we're having having this hour, and you count on hearing in-depth and really thought-provoking, provocative discussions every day. WPR is listener-supported public radio, so your gift right now, WPR.org, makes a world of difference and keeps these kinds of conversations on the radio.
And if you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to WPR in your budget, I have just the suggestion.
Oh, what is it, Scotty?
Become a sustaining member. That will make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or bank account.
A lot of people give $15 a month on the plan, and some give $100. The amount is totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of WPR, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. So contribute right now. Become a sustainer. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time, and that's no mistake, because we are committed to quality conversations here on our network. And that quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
You're part of the quality that you hear every day, whether you donate, and I hope you do donate. You become more of the quality when you donate at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I think a lot of what I hear on public radio, especially about the statewide stuff, sometimes I know the people they're talking about, and I certainly know the places they're talking about. I can really visualize it. The descriptions and the texture really makes it a great experience. So I've had a lot of those kinds of moments, I think, with public radio, because I listen to it so often, you know, pretty much all the time. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, connections, and community.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift might be $10 or $20 a month. We just thank you for your gift, and we really need your gifts.
Yeah, not many radio stations have the mission to inform, inspire, and engage their listeners, but we do. That's what we're all about. These values are the core of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's not something we do for you. It's something you do for yourself, and we all do for each other. You know, I got to say, and I do want to say this during one of these pledge drives, that How many guests do we have who say, your listeners are so great, they're so smart? It happens all the time, doesn't it, Scotty?
It absolutely does. I hear it almost every day.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
So you're a big part of this show, too. So contribute so we can all be a big part of this. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, science may not have been your best subject in school, or if you're Kathleen, math.
Stop it, Scotty. I'm learning. No, I'm terrible at it. I'm sorry.
Or maybe, you know, you tuned out during civics class. I've been known to do that.
But it's okay, because you can rely on public radio to turn complicated scientific studies. Last week's show on the gravitational waves, I love that show.
Einstein again.
And I got it. And I kind of got it, yeah. You know? Oh, I just love doing programs like this. We help make sense of these really complicated ideas so that you'll know what it's all about.
That's right. WPR relies on your financial support to bring those programs that are relevant to your life. That's why we're asking you to make your first ever contribution now of, say, $5 a month during this winter membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What do you spend a dollar a day on? Coffee?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Your phone?
Yep, check.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A snack from, we don't have a vending machine.
Guilty, I love the Gardettos.
What do you get? The what?
Little snack, Gardettos.
I've never heard of that.
It's a Wisconsin product.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Is it good?
It's delicious. Oh. The rye chips.
Well, I'd rather spend my dollar on Wisconsin Public Radio. But every now and then, it's okay to have one of those. Well, at any rate, the point is, it's easy to spend a dollar a day on something that's part of your daily routine. So we ask you...
Yeah, what is it about Wisconsin Public Radio? Well, here's the answer. WPR is your daily news source. It's your conversation starter. It's your place to learn more. How many times have you started a conversation by saying, you know, the other day I heard on Wisconsin Public Radio? Happens
Absolutely.
All the time.
It
happens
sure
to
does.
Me. So support today and every day. Give a dollar or whatever you can afford at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Scotty, we need 17 more pledges in about 20 minutes, which we can do. Help out now, WPR.org. pdr.org, 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, ask for your set of WPR bandanas. Get them for your dog. I'm getting one for Charlie, Kathleen. I'm sure you're getting one for Murphy, who just had a birthday.
Murphy's birthday yesterday.
Show your pride. Show your pride for your radio love. Give $6 a month, and you can get those bandanas at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Sorry to cut you off there, Kathleen. I'm just looking at the screen here, and I'm seeing this great comment from Kristen in Mequon, and she says, there are so many sensationalist and biased news programs out there, and WPR provides an honest, intelligent perspective on national and global news. I feel it's my duty to make sure WPR survives. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate that, Kristen. Indeed it is. So make your pledge right now. It's important to do so. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. I mean, allowing us to have conversations like the one this hour, what kind of government best serves our needs as human beings to be satisfied, to have as much happiness as we can have during our time on this earth? I mean, that's great, you know, to have a conversation like that. So that's what we're doing this hour, and our guest is Benjamin Radcliffe, professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame, author of The Political Economy of Human Happiness, How Voters' Choices Determine the Quality of Life. Let's go to Mary in Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for this topic, and I would also ask that perhaps you would include it at another time when there's not a pledge week, so it could be really addressed more thoroughly. I think happiness, when people are comfortable, safe, and happy, they don't start arguments and wars.
Mm.
This is not a minor topic, and it is not a minor job for a government.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's not a minor topic.
No, and it's not a minor job for government to do, and the minute it starts to provide this, you hear the term, oh, get government out of your life. I want government in my life. I love the fire department, for instance.
I know.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
My dad had a piece of paper in his drawer when he died, and we pulled it out, and it was from a labor newspaper in the 50s. And there are 15 qualities of a union job that are quoted in here that people took for granted in those days. And oddly enough, people don't realize they don't take them for granted anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about paid vacations, paid holidays, sick leave, seniority rights, wage increases, pension, insurance plans, safety laws, workers' compensation laws, Social Security, time and a half for overtime, unemployment benefits, and simple job security. These are not accepted as standard anymore. They're considered a rare gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when the 1% began to rise in the 80s, there was a decline. We only had a honeymoon of about 30 years from the 50s to the 80s when the unions stopped being the enemy and became, the guy next door. And then the 1% and the shift in capitalism, it's not one person to blame, but there was just a change in the idea that capitalism was not meant to make you happy. It was just meant to make you rich. I would love to see this topic addressed from the point of view of happiness.
Yes, we will. Professor Radcliffe, what do you make of her thoughtful comments?
That they were very thoughtful. And the summary of what labor unions do and try the world that they try to make, was great, too. That's a mm-hmm. litany of the things that make people happy and a litany of the things that that labor unions have traditionally supported in the United States and elsewhere. And that's part of their huge contribution to making our lives better. That's been declining, as the caller noted, because of declining rates of unionization. But we still feel their effects every day when we think about a 40-hour work week or the idea of the weekend or unemployment insurance or student loans or workers' compensation, all and 100 other things. The labor unions were instrumental in passing and have helped nurture and maintain. We take advantage of them all the time, every day. Another way
I like to think, as I said before, that, all of us are free riders on the past and current effort of organized workers.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Steve in Oxford next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I just had one short comment to make. Like the lady was so in favor of non-privatization. There's another word called free enterprise, and if you take the post office versus UPS or FedEx and see that they are run efficiently and make a profit and the post office goes in the hole, my opinion is when more of their government gets their fingers in things, the more things go downhill financially especially. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Steve, for the call. Benjamin?
Could I comment?
Oh,
yeah,
please,
That's a great example. The reason that the post office is struggling so much is not because it's a government enterprise. It's because Republicans in Congress have purposely gone out of their way to make it impossible to do its business. What they've done is tried to make it a non-competitive of enterprise that can't run properly so that they can privatize it. They've done two things. They've required it to fund its pensions in a way that nobody else has to do, which provides enormous and purposely intended strain on their finances. And they've also have stopped the post office from providing all kinds of services that the post office might otherwise provide, like simple things like having a Xerox machine in the post office and just selling and providing other services that people might want to have. So they're strapped in a model from the 1960s, which is again purposely done so as to try to drive the post office into de facto bankruptcy so it can be privatized. Right? I can't think of a better example of how people sincerely think that, you know, the government gets involved in something, it's bad. And this is an example in which the post office would work just fine if the government would leave it alone to do so, as odd as that sounds. I mean, it is an independent governmental corporation. It's the direct interference of the Republican Congress that's attempting to drive the post office into bankruptcy.
Thanks so much for your call. Let's go next to Joan in Williams Bay. Hi, Joan.
Yeah, good morning. I enjoy the program, and I think people are lazy, and if they could follow up their complaints with action, like going to their meetings, local meetings, or even holding meetings, weekly meetings or monthly meetings, decide how their government is working for them, and then submit a point of view that they have to some government agency. Maybe we should have an agency that looks out for our happiness. I don't know. Maybe that would be a good idea.
Actually, I think it'd be a great idea. U.S. government agency that looks at our overall well-being, how happy we are. I'm all for that, Professor. Are you?
Yeah, I think so. And there are other countries like Great Britain and France and the entire European Union, along with a scattering of countries in the developing world, would actually have ministers for happiness.
Hmm.
You know, it's their job to do what you just said, to try to look out for people's happiness.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Bernie Sanders, should you use this as one of his campaign themes, that if you voted for Bernie Sanders, he would make you a happier person? Do you think that's true, Woody?
Well, if he won, it would be. I think the peer-reviewed evidence about public policy, that nobody could honestly review that literature and not say that if Bernie were able to make into law the policy he proposes, that happiness in the United States would go up dramatically.
You also, I don't want to spend, well, let's not. I want to do another show with you on direct democracy. I know you've done a great study on that, and it would be a great show to do down the road, but we're short on time today, so let's hold off on that, because we have a lot of calls coming in. We go to Dan next in Boulder Junction. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I lived for most of the last 8 years down in Iowa, for example, and I know men who have been in charge of businesses in this country, like divisions of Colt Industries, for example, that have gone to Holland and worked over there. And it is terrible for an entrepreneur. it's almost impossible to start a new business in Europe. Productivity per person in Europe is only about two-fifths of ours. The problem that we have in this country is that all of the benefits of productivity have been shuffled to the top because of the crookedness of our government and our legislature, Congress, state legislatures also, that have to stand out with their hand out, spend most of their time drumming up campaign finance money.
All right, we need to get a response because we have other things. I'm sorry, we have to do. We'll be on the subject again. Benjamin.
Yeah, briefly, the caller raises a good point, one that people think of all the time. Here's what I can say. The idea that social democratic economies are inconsistent with a vibrant entrepreneurial culture, a vibrant capitalist economy, I mean, just is transparently not true. And the way to see this is if you go to something like Forbes magazine or any of the other sort of business-oriented publications, they'll provide yearly rankings of the best places in the world to do business. Scandinavian countries come in either at or very near the top, higher than the United States. And they have, you know, there's a reason why social democracy works. It depends on this huge, redistribution of wealth, if you want to call it that, all of this government spending, these incredibly generous programs to help people who are unemployed and so on. None of that could work if the economy wasn't, a strong and vibrant one, and if it wasn't a good place to do business. Norway is, Denmark and so on, these are good places to do business, as you can, anyone who's curious can go Google that and find out.
Or maybe go over there. If you can get there, right? Yeah. Benjamin, thanks very much for being with us. Benjamin Radcliffe, we'll have him back. I know the time was short for such an interesting conversation. Thanks. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Scotty Myers with me again here in our studios. And this is, of course, also our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And we need to have you make us happy. And the way to do that is to reach our goal. Our goal is we need 12 more callers, Scotty, during the news, which we could do so we can all be happy. Give now. Any amount will be A-OK, but the more the better, of course. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. We're looking for 12 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. Now, take a few minutes right now to really make programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Choose a gift, an amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have had a very interesting conversation about what governments should be doing to look at the well-being and the satisfaction and the happiness of the people who live in a country. It's a perfect topic for public radio and just so, so interesting.
That's right. So, take a few minutes right now, and we only have a short time left. We're still looking for 12 calls, and if you call right now, you can get that bandana.
Oh, yeah. That bandana is for your dog or for yourself, and it's a really nice thing to have. And you can tie them on your pet, take them all on your outdoor adventures. Check out the design, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, during this winter membership drive, pledges have been coming in from $5 up through multiple thousands of dollars. So the full scale here, do what is comfortable for you. Consider joining the 9XM Leadership Circle with the gift of $100 or even $200 a month for the programming essential in your life. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know that many of you listen to public radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, every single day, and it's safe to say that we are a fundamental part of your life.
Indeed, you are the soundtrack. Or we are the soundtrack to your day. Support your daily dose of Wisconsin Public Radio, this soundtrack that's so important to your life. And you can do that with a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We still, of course, hear from people who just discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. They found the news, they found the discussions, the weekend programs, however you were just scanning the dial. However you first found us, you eventually just became a regular listener.
And it's probably been a while since that discovery, months, years, possibly decades from some of our most devoted listeners. Your contribution of, say, $5 a month brings you the same quality programming that you've valued since the first time you've listened. The quality has held throughout your listening years. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You, of course, support the things that make your life more meaningful. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get information about events in our region and the world, and also you get some humor, and you get a whole lot of information.
That's right. You'll get news, information in the coming year, political news that we're talking about right now.
Yes.
Your pledge, any amount, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. Our way to make your gift is 888-202-2552. A member from Two Harbors says, I love WPR and I want to help keep it alive and well. That about says it. Scotty Myers, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, and thanks to Chris Molina and to KP Whaley, and thanks to Katie Madsen Cyrus for helping us out here today as well. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for just listening, too.